7:40 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. We've got Sheriff Chip Simmons here in studio with us. This is Scammy Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, welcome back. It's always good to have you, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm great. You had a search, a warrant service on Sturbridge Place. It was kind of a raid. Found a lot of stuff as a result of this, yeah?
You can call them a raid if you want to. We call them search warrants. But anyway, the SWAT team helped our narcotics unit out. They did a search warrant. And we got, I'll read it off here. Let's see here, 45 grams of fentanyl, which I don't know, do the math, but just a little bit of fentanyl is deadly.
That's a
45
lot,
grams,
yeah.
Quite a bit for that. Certainly trafficking amounts. 337 grams of methamphetamine, 18 grams of MDMA, which is another form of amphetamine, and then two handguns. So we arrested Michael Watts, trafficking in fentanyl, trafficking in methamphetamine, and trafficking in MDMA. For those who are listening, trafficking is that higher charge that you know, there's possession, and then there's possession with intent to distribute, which is sales. And then there is trafficking. That these are the individuals, these mid-level players that obviously can ruin a neighborhood. So there's a picture of it on our Facebook page, a couple guns. Again, we talk a lot about guns and drugs. They seem to want to mix them, and they don't mix well, so. Good to have him off street.
For the longest time, fentanyl was, the way I had understood it, was that fentanyl was a mix-in to other drugs, that it would, you know, you would have maybe your marijuana would be laced with it, or your cocaine, or your heroin, or something else, that it would be always into something else. Is that true? That's what it was? And is that still true, or is it now being marketed as a standalone product?
No, I think it's still true. Again, you could talk to a number of different people in a number of different places, and based on what they've seen recently, they're saying, oh, this is what we're seeing. And so I'll tell you what we're seeing is historically and right now, we see that the fentanyl is stuff that they mix. It's so potent. They mix a little bit of that with some of the other stuff, and then, you know, people get this some sort of euphoria, which I'll never try. But that's what fentanyl is doing now. But it's so deadly because, again, I don't think that people intentionally add fentanyl to it, and, you know, just so that someone will potentially die from it. I just think that they don't know how much they're putting in. These aren't, you know, this is
pharmacists,
not in a lab, you know, environment. This is just the people that are selling drugs. These are losers that are selling drugs, and they don't care about people's health. They don't care about their own health. They don't care about other people's health. And so they're adding this fentanyl to people, and we're doing, what, sometimes 2 to 3 overdoses a day because of it.
Is it, we were talking about this a little bit yesterday. We were talking about the question of, do you pick up coins off of the street or whatever, a sidewalk? And Jake had made the comment that he would be worried about, or somebody had made the comment that they'd be worried about fentanyl, you know, a drug being on there, because any small amount. And is it by skin contact with it that it's dangerous? Do you have to inhale it? What is it about it that makes it dangerous? And I mean, I thought it was contact, even, that's why gloves, for example, can be so valuable to law enforcement officers.
Yeah, we have precautions, universal mm-hmm. precautions that we use. I know certainly it's in inhale. If you inhale it, you can get that exposure to it. I think you can get it by touching your, you know, the fingers as well. But, you know, it's possible that the people that are experts in this field say you just don't want to put it on your finger, so that when you wipe your mouth or
when
rub
it
your eyes,
it
might
mouth,
be
yeah.
something to you. So
we
again,
all learned
I
during
can't,
COVID, we
exactly.
put our fingers by our mouths all the time.
Well, yeah. There's videos of people, how often they touch their face,
right.
And, you know, face touches 20 times a minute or something crazy
right.
like that.
You also had a kind of an odd incident, a fight at the Boys and Girls Club on H Street. And when you got there, somebody fought with you, right?
Yeah, let's talk about that for a second. So it is Easter, and the Boys and Girls Club, I don't know who organized, I'm still trying to figure this out. They had a huge crowd, several hundred youths and some adults that gathered around the Boys and Girls Club, which is really right across the street from the sheriff's office, right mm-hmm. there on Leonard Street. We weren't aware of this party, and we're trying to figure out how this happened and who organized it. But it was a large crowd, so we get a call that there's a fight and someone's getting injured. Mm-hmm. So our deputy, the initial deputy that shows up there, he does what a brave deputy would do. They go to the location, they even amongst the crowd, and they don't wait for backup. They go to try to help somebody. And so she, he identifies, the deputy identifies a female that had thrown a punch at someone.
Okay.
So he grabs her and he's trying to detain her.
In this group of hundreds of
people. In this group of trying to buy hundreds of people.
Okay.
And then as he's trying to grab her, she's resisting. Her mother, who is Shanette Robinson, is trying to pull her away from the deputy.
Okay.
Which is a crime, by the way. That's the first crime that was committed. But there's so many people around. He doesn't have any backup at this point. They're still in the way, obviously. And then as he's trying to get her cuffed, Shanette Robinson, in a bit of a punk move, attacks him from behind.
This
starts
is the
striking
mom
him,
who was
the mother,
to pull
who's
the
initially,
daughter
right.
away. Okay.
That's correct. So, and then another deputy
attacks him,
shows
you said
up.
Punched him from behind?
Punched him from behind, yeah. Just reaches around and attacks him from behind. As he's leaning over, trying to detain
the daughter. Okay.
And again, a 100% punk move on her part. And so that, in the midst of all the crowd, another deputy shows up there and someone hits him with a cinder block, a piece of a cinder block in the back of the head. They throw it again on him. The whole crowd's unruly. Anyway, so we don't make an arrest at the time because a lot of things going on. So we have a warrant for the mama, Shanette Robinson. We put her picture up on our social media platforms and we're trying to pick her up. She's got a warrant with no bond for battery on law enforcement officer for her activity. And we also should have her on the billboards now, too. I want people to know that we're not going to tolerate this.
Yeah, I'm worried about the cinder block, too. I mean, that's a very serious
Both deputies were injured. Both of them will be okay.
Okay.
But again, you never know. You throw a piece of a brick or a rock.
Yeah.
In this case, it was a cinder block and hit someone in the head. That could end up.
And do we know who that is or have any video?
We have a lot of video.
Okay.
We have a lot of, we have a warrant right now for Ms. Robinson. And then other people are expected to be charged as well for this entire melee. At the same time, we're dealing with all this. Pensacola Police Department's there with us because it's close to the city-county line. We hear a single gunshot, or the officers hear a single gunshot. They go over there to find there's a 16-year-old male that has a gunshot wound to the inner thigh area. And reports are from the people that were around there that he shot himself. By accident.
Okay.
Apparently my thought is that he would have a gun in his waistband of some sort and he ended up shooting himself, which happens a lot, by the way, a lot.
You
a lot
mean
more than you think.
The people who shouldn't have guns and carry them irresponsibly then also wind up with hurting themselves with guns because they're not particularly skilled at the safety and the use of a gun?
Yeah, apparently you can't be cool enough on your own. You've got to think that you're cool enough to have this gun with you, and then you got to show it to somebody, because if you don't show it to somebody, you're not cool enough. So,
and there's nothing better than taking a loaded gun out that's ready to fire and showing it to people.
Yeah, look how bad I am.
Yeah.
And then I'll just
good.
Tuck it in my pants like they do in the movies, and bam, you get shot.
Because things never get caught when you're putting them not in a proper holster.
They have no idea what they're doing. Yeah. They just think it's a cool thing to do. So anyways, that's
and the that
report.
Was at the that was at that the
was
at,
during all this thing was going on. That's why these people were able to get away temporarily.
Yeah.
They will not get away for very long. But there was a report that officer involved shooting and all this. This is how rumors get started. Mm-hmm. And now you know, obviously the rest of the story of how what took place. So we have a warrant for Shanette Robinson, and then we're gonna have some warrants for some other people that are involved in this whole situation.
And I'm assuming that not just body cam video, but as is often the case in these kinds of situations, lots of people had their phones out videoing all kinds of things. So there's lots of information to work with. Is that fair?
That is more than fair, yes.
It seems like it's always the case. Okay. I did want to get a note of clarification. Someone texted in saying the Boys and Girls Club was not involved. The group had an unpermitted event at the park by the Boys and Girls Club, not affiliated with the Boys and Girls Club. Can you address that? Do you know anything about that?
Well, I'm in contact with the people that run the Boys and Girls Club, and apparently they had none of it was sanctioned, from what I understand. There were no permits at all.
Okay.
But they had a Easter egg hunt early that afternoon, and we're trying to determine whether that's what attracted the crowd, which means it would be by the community center that was there. There's a Boys and Girls Club, and then there's a community center right next to it. They kind of share a building.
Okay.
And we're trying to figure out exactly who gave them permission, because I understand that the bathrooms may have been open. So someone either left the bathrooms open or allowed them to use the facility. But either way, it's got to be stopped. We can't have 600, 700 people gathering around there, because invariably something's going to happen. Inevitably something's going to happen.
We also, and I think this is kind of not a story, except for obviously it's a tragic, it's a sad one, but we had a human was found dead on the Ascend property in Cantonment, but no foul play was suspected?
That's correct.
Okay. Which happens more often than we talk about, because people, particularly people that are unhoused, you know, they die and you find them. And I don't know that that was this case, but that's something that's, it's rare, but it's not that rare.
That's true. And I don't know that people truly understand how many suicides we actually work. Mm-hmm. There are natural cause deaths from homeless population.
Sure.
And non-homeless population. And then there are just a high number of suicides that probably should be made more public.
Yeah, you know, it's this longstanding practice of not publicizing out of the fear of getting more of it, you know, normalizing it. But it's also, people don't realize just how pervasive a problem it is. I was in our neighborhood coming home one day, and you had three or four of your Tahoes out in front of a house in our neighborhood, and I stopped by, and it was a suicide. And I'm like, okay, well, I mean, there's nothing to report on here, but it's real life that is awful and terrible and burdens people and harms families and, I mean, all of that.
Yeah, we don't talk much about medical conditions, you know, publicly.
Right.
And so there's a lot of medical conditions that are attached to suicide, so sure. We just don't get into it.
Last one, and I think this is my favorite dumb criminal story of the week, just because it's one of those, okay, you had a guy allegedly driving a go-kart on US 29, and in the process of flipping off your deputies, wound up getting tased and fighting with you guys?
Yeah, yeah. You know, some people think that rules don't apply to them. And they think, I'll just do what I want to do. So you're riding a go-kart, and the deputy sees you, and it's like, you know what, you can't do that. That's dangerous to everyone. You can't do that. And people need to understand, we get calls on this type of stuff all the time. People riding four-wheelers, crazy. People riding motorcycles.
Kids they're riding in the street.
Exactly. And I'm not talking about just slow right in front of your house where parents are around. I'm talking about just driving crazy and reckless and just going through stop signs and everything else. In this case, the guy was riding, obviously, illegally on the main roadway.
You can't ride a go-kart on 29?
No, you cannot.
Even if you came from, you know, Sam's or whatever?
Yeah, no, no matter where you're coming from, you can't do that. You have to be proper tagged and registered.
You took the wrong turn off that loop.
Yeah, so anyways, we try to stop him, and he decides, oh, you know what, I'm going to be cool again. And I'm going to flip off the deputies, and deputies don't, you know, so what? We've been flipped off before.
That's allowed. The first one. The law protects you.
Yeah, you can do that. And it doesn't really hurt our feelings. I don't really care. So, but then we stop him, and he resists us, which I do care about, and then we end up having to tase him. So moral of the story is, you know, if you get stopped, if you get those blue lights in the back, just go and stop your car and show them a driver's license if you have one. If not, then, you know, deal with that. We can deal with that sort of thing. But one thing is, do not fight with the deputies. Do not resist the deputies. You're liable to get tased or punched in the mouth. That's just, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Just stop.
You play stupid games and you get stupid prizes, right? That's kind of the result.
Yeah. You know, it was, oh my gosh, you can't punch someone. Absolutely. If someone punches a deputy or swings at us, you can punch them back.
And I mean, being a law enforcement officer a lot of times involves fighting. You don't have to just take it.
It's not always pretty.
That's right. I wanted to ask you something else, but I just don't think we have enough time. Well, I will ask you briefly. It's not related to anything that's happening here locally, but as I know, you know, the Supreme Court in Florida just approved an amendment on the ballot that's going to decriminalize personal possession amounts of marijuana if we pass it above 60%. And my thought about this is, my perception is that when medical marijuana came in, that dramatically changed law enforcement practice in the state, because you now had to be able to prove that you had probable cause that it was illegal marijuana, not just medical marijuana, in the car. And, for example, dogs that alert on marijuana had to be swapped out for dogs that didn't, because you had to know that it was heroin or something that was illegal.
Right.
And so that's really had to change practice for law enforcement. If this were to pass, given that we've already adapted to medical marijuana, how much of an impact would this be on your law enforcement practices?
Yeah, I think it's a good point. The initial impact was, again, it wasn't just marijuana. It was also hemp, and there were some other things that had smelled similar to that. And I think we've already made that adjustment. Again, we don't teach our dogs to train on marijuana mm-hmm. scent itself. So it's because it's been a couple of years now, we've already adjusted to that. While I would not, endorse this
right.
sort of thing, I do think that if it were to pass. And again, I'm a believer in the will of the people, and you know, you vote on laws, we just enforce them.
Right.
I don't think it would be that big an impact on us with traffic stops because we've already made that adjustment. Now, will it be an impact on communities? Again, look at Denver and look at some of these communities that have it.
Right.
I do think that it will. So I would rather it not okay. pass. However, I don't know that it would be that big of an impact on the traffic stop portion of law enforcement.
Good. And that was my question. So I appreciate that clarification. I still think a lot of people don't even realize that took place, that you guys had to dramatically adjust how you do policing with the canines. Because now you couldn't tell from the outside of the car whether it was medical marijuana or illegal marijuana, but you've adjusted to that now, which is the good news.
Right. Well, you know that we have run dogs around cars a lot, and we have to go to court, and mm-hmm. and you know that we have to convince a judge or a jury that you know this is why we thought there was illegal drugs in that car, and because you can carry medicinal marijuana now and some hemp versions. Then that in itself is not a good enough reason.
Doesn't give you probable cause.
Right.
Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, sir, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll talk to you again next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.